And thank you for being here, and we look forward to the opportunity again to look into the Word of God. And turn with me, if you will, to Judges chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at 13, 14, 15, and 16. Those are the chapters that deal with the life of Samson, and of course we talked about Samson's birth and the kind of birth that it was. You know, the interesting thing is, as you stop and think about Samson's birth, is again, an angel of the Lord came to the wife of Manoah. All we know about her is she was Mrs. Manoah. It doesn't give us her name, but it gives us his name. And then the angel again appeared to Manoah. And who's that remind us of again? Birth of Jesus, okay. So everything started right, didn't it? Everything started in an excellent fashion. And Samson had everything going for him. He had all the positive things that you could have as far as his beginning was concerned. He was raised by two believing parents. Those believing parents were careful to find out exactly what they needed to teach Samson. And that's what Samson's father, Manoah, asked the angel of the Lord. What do we do in order to raise him correctly? And so we don't have anything in the scripture said as regarding anything that was done or not done in raising Samson. However, we find that Samson had a spirit of his own, and he had a mind of his own, and the direction he chose to go was his own choosing. There's a point where we parents are responsible to raise our kids in a way which honors the Lord. And there's a point where we are going to have failures in our lives, but if we admit those and ask for forgiveness and do the best we can, there are some books that give you all these things. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that. And the negative with those books is a lot of parents, I hear them all the time saying things like, oh, I probably ruined him because I did this and that book said not to do that, or I probably did this or that. And there's a point where there needs to be a balance there where we realize, first of all, we are people. We are human beings, and we're not always going to do everything perfectly, but we also have God's grace, and God's grace overrules that in so many areas. But from time to time, there's a child who, even with the right background and the right training, still makes a choice that befuddles everybody. People begin, why would he go that direction? Or why would she go that direction? And that's because all of us have within us the natural man, or the sinful man, we might say, dwells within each one of us. And when we're born again, the old man is still there. Now, the Bible tells us to put off the old man and put on the new man. And so we have that responsibility. But there's a point where the old saying, every tub sits on its own bottom. Have you ever heard that? If you look around at all the tubs, you know, you'll see that that's the case. They're all sitting on their own bottom. And there's a point where each person before God is responsible to God. And after a certain point, the parents aren't responsible anymore. Okay? If they've really done what they ought to do, and they've done what God's asked them to do, you're always going to be a parent, and you're going to find out you'd never quit parenting. But you're always praying for your kids. You're always praying for their decisions. You're always praying for your grandkids and for their decisions, and praying that they'll follow the Lord. But there's still that point where sometimes decisions are made and things are made. Now, the scripture tells us, and the way it gives us a picture of Samson, the Bible tells us, the Lord knew what kind of spirit Samson was going to have before he had it. And so the Lord planned to use it. And I'd rather be used for my positive traits than for my negative traits, wouldn't you? But we find, it says, the Lord knew just how Samson would respond and how he would act. And so for that reason, the Lord used those negative traits and brought about judgment on the Philistines because of the negative traits of Samson. Now, when I say you can't fix stupid, I know that's pretty strong. But there's a truth to that. The truth is Bob Jones Sr., founder of Bob Jones University and a great evangelist for many years, had an old saying, and he said, it's not a sin to fail, but it's a sin not to borrow brains. It's not a sin to fail, but it is a sin to not to borrow brains. What he meant by that is you may not always be super, super intelligent, and you may not know what to do, but you can find out what to do. And you can find out what you need to change or whatever. And when you make a mistake and you have all kinds of problems because of that mistake, then a smart person will do what? What would be the smart thing? You make a mistake and all kinds of problems result from it. What would be the smart thing to do? Get help, okay? Good. Okay, find out how not to what?
Do it again.
You find out how not to make that mistake again. You know, it's kind of like when you're little, you walk up and mom and dad say, hot, when the stove's on. Now, just show you what kind of spirit I had growing up. First word I learned and spoke was hot. Wasn't mama, wasn't dad, it was hot. There was a reason. There was a stove that I wasn't supposed to touch, and mom and dad would go, hot, don't touch hot. And so one day I go, shh. Like that, and they had to wrap my hand, and I had burns on my hand and all that, and so they wrapped my hand, and what was funny is that was the first term I learned. Now, I was teachable from the standpoint, from that point on, I would walk up to the stove, get pretty close to it, but I would go hot as though I was telling everybody else, I want to warn y'all. That's really hot. But I wasn't stupid enough to go up and put my hand on it again. I realized that that was painful. I did not like that. I had a series of those kinds of experiences. One time my dad had burned a huge pile of boards out in the backyard, and I kept looking at it and everything, and he says, now, you know, stay away from that. It's hot. Well, I had learned hot this way, but I hadn't learned hot that way. I was barefooted. And there were all these fluffy white ashes. I mean, just the prettiest fluffy white ashes you ever saw. And I thought, that's got to be the neatest thing to step into those fluffy white. I stepped right in the center of it, and it was still hot red coals down in the middle. And so they wrapped my foot and put that silver cream stuff on it and said, don't take it off for 6 weeks, which I can't imagine. Anyway, but I think I was 5 years old or 6 years old then. And I've got a lot of stories I could tell you, just one thing after the other. My parents were white-haired before I was 10. But anyway, I learned that lesson too. Now I see a pile of ashes, I don't step in still to this day. But there's a point of being what we call teachable, being teachable. John Maxwell said regarding Samson and this story, he's one who teaches leadership clinics and all kinds of stuff. He teaches leadership management for large corporations. He's a pastor and seems like the Lord's blessed him with a lot of insights in these areas. But he said this regarding Samson. He said, if I were to take all of Samson's flaws and problems and key in on the one that got him into trouble more than any other, it would be this: he was unteachable. He was unteachable. No matter what happened to him, for good or ill, he never seemed to grow any wiser. He kept going in his own wrong direction until his destructive end. He was so self-centered, so undisciplined, so arrogant, that he lost his teachability. And that loss can make even the most talented person ineffective as a leader. And so you see that case with Samson. Everything had been given to him. In other words, if you have skill as a carpenter and all the tools are given to you that you need, you ought to be able to craft a beautiful project, whatever you start on. As far as life was concerned, Samson had been handed skill and he'd been handed all the tools that were necessary to accomplish those things that God wanted him to accomplish in a proper fashion. He could do those things that he should have done those things that he needed to do. But there's many points where we can stop and think he was unteachable. And we're going to look into those as far as their individual effect on his life. But I stop and think of Delilah at the end of his life. I'm not going to read the passage right now. We'll talk about it a little later. But you stop and think for a moment. She's not his wife. It's an improper relationship. We know that, which is against one of God's commandments. He's not to commit adultery. He's not to be involved in any kind of physical marriage-type relationship until he's actually, excuse me, in a true marriage relationship. But he wasn't. He defied his parents in that area. They tried to stop him. He defied God in that area. Yet he walks in, and she says, Samson, tell me your strength. Excuse me. There's an itch down there I can't get rid of. Samson, tell me the reason for your strength. So he gives her the first lie. And she says, Samson, the Philistines are on you. And he jumps up and breaks the ropes, you remember? Then he tells her the second lie. You know, weave my hair. If you weave it into seven locks, then I lose my strength. She says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. I mean, he goes through this until it says she, you know what he was weak for? A crying woman. Now, how many of you men say that's pretty, I won't put you in that spot. Okay. But somebody's crying, oh, I want you to do this. Some reason that got to him. I mean, but after three times or four times of her testing that strength by saying the Philistines are on you, how many of you would learn this woman doesn't have my best interest at heart? Any of you guys, how many of you think you might have got that after the first time? Are you guys dead back there? Or are you listening? Huh? Okay. How many of you think I would have figured that out? I would have figured that out. Okay. And you think you would. But, I mean, he goes right on through. And, I mean, he did that other times too. We see that. And finally tells her the real reason for his strength, to shave off his hair because he was a Nazarite. And then she does it. And he ends up, you know, one of the most tragic verses in the scripture is when he got up to go out and show his strength like he did at other times, and he knew not the Lord left him. I mean, that to me is just, wow, what a statement. And I'd never want to be in that position where, you know, you have sinned and you don't have the power of God on your life, and you go out to do what you were going to do and didn't realize God had left you and he wasn't there to give you strength. But that's that when we say he was, you can't fix stupid, what we mean by that is he became unteachable. He didn't learn from those kinds of mistakes. He just would keep plowing forward. I am Samson. I am mighty. I can do this. It doesn't make any difference. And sadly, it's a picture of a lot of men in this day and time. They plow right into sin. You keep telling them that's not going to work out well. And they keep saying, well, I know it did this for other people, but it won't do it to me. And they keep plowing right on forward. And then tragically, you're there to pick up the pieces afterward. You say, you know, don't look at this stuff on the computer, it'll destroy you. Don't do this over here, destroy you. Don't do that over there, it'll destroy you. It's like, yeah, it'll destroy other people, but it won't destroy me. That was Samson's attitude. Unteachable. And there's a point where, you know, if I show somebody that stove is hot, don't put your hand on it, and they put their hand on it and they burn themselves, and they come back 2 days later and say, I wonder if that'll still burn me. Shh. And they keep doing that, and they never learn, don't do that anymore, then, you know, that's what I call stupid. In other words, there's that point of not being able to fix that unless they're going to stop and say, let me learn from the mistakes that I make. What happens when we lose our teachability? What happens? Samson gives us a lot of pictures of that. What ends up happening, number one, is that people lean on their own strength and understanding. They lean on their own strength and understanding. There's a verse that uses those words, and you know which one it is. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and... Okay, lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. And he... Okay, that's pretty basic teaching, isn't it? Pretty basic teaching. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Got that? Yeah. Walk right out. Make a decision without trusting the Lord. Or trusting the Lord would also mean trusting what? His word. Okay. Trusting his word, because that's what the Lord's given us. So trusting the word, believing the word, and thinking, okay, I got to try this for myself. Young people, we see that all the time. Well, I know you said don't do that, but I've got to try it for myself. Tragically, the difficulties that come out of that, the things that kids face, the problems they face, the friends that sometimes they make friends with, and the hurt that comes from that, the difficulty that comes from it, because they don't listen to what the Scripture says. Acknowledge the Lord, and what? He'll direct your paths. In other words, there's that point where once God sees you, he can you trust him, and you're going to do things his way, then he'll start giving you direction for your path. It doesn't work the other way, where I'm going to give him direction for his path, but he's not going to listen to me anyway. It's the fact that first, we're willing to trust. And we find that, you know, in the Scriptures, we find so many decisions already made for us, direction already made. What about that unsaved gal I want to marry? Wait a minute. What about that unsaved gal I want to date? What about the unsaved guy I want to date? You know, or I want to look at as far as the future. You know, I mean, all those kinds of things when I'm talking about the Word of God. What about listening to my parents? What about so many different sins that are mentioned? Scripture clearly speaks to those sins, those things. And so immediately I have answers, and God says, well, if you don't listen to that, I'm not going to reveal future things to you. So teachability is vitally important. Those people, they don't seek guidance from God and others. There's some good Christian people here that can give you good Christian advice. I will give you what I think the Bible teaches. Had a guy the other day wanted me to help with a certain project here in town, and he said, you know why I asked you? And I said, no. And he and I had some discussions, and I didn't agree with him on everything. I told him why. But we had some discussions, and he said, because every time I talk to you, you quote Scripture to me, and you tell me exactly what you think. And I'm kind of like, uh-oh. And then he said, and I'm glad you do that. That's what I need. I need somebody that's willing to do that. And you know what? There are people here that are willing to do that. And that's what you need. You don't need somebody to tell you what you want to hear. I had a lady in this church years ago. She's not here anymore. But she had a certain thing she wanted to do, leave her husband. And she came for counseling one time. And so I told her what the Bible said and everything. She said, okay. I was afraid that's what you'd say. She said, I've been to 7 other counselors, and that's what they said. And she said, I'm looking for one that'll say what I want her to say, what I want them to say. And I just sat there, shook my head, and I said, yeah, but what I'm telling you is straight from God's word. I'm not telling you what I say or what 7 other people said. This is what God says. Well, she didn't care about that. She wanted somebody to tell her what she was going to do was okay. That was her whole desire or design in the midst of that, as my wife and I were talking to her at that point. And you just kind of sit there like, okay, you're looking for your doom. What she found. Finally, she went ahead and went with that, and that didn't work out, which is exactly what we told her ahead of time in that whole situation. But as you see those things happen, you just keep thinking, what was it? Again, you can't fix stupid. If a person won't listen, there's nothing you can do. You may not like those terms or whatever, but that's what it comes down to. The Bible calls it a fool, so pick which one you want. But that's where it comes down to. They're out of touch with other spiritually minded people. In other words, rather than finding a group of Christian people that love the Lord and fellowshipping with them and determining their direction from that fellowship, instead they stay away from those people because what they want to do won't fit in that kind of fellowship, will it? They can't find fellowship or friendship there. Samson used brute force to handle his difficulties. He was strong, and so what he did is he emphasized the strong part. He started using that as his, modus operandi. There you go. That's what he used that as. I don't know what it is, but that's what he used it at. That became his main, modus operandi. It became his main go-to response. That's the best way to put it. So every time he responded with brute force. He had this strength, and so he used it. I think God would have really intended that he use this too. But he didn't use this. He used, every time something would happen, he reacted. And that became his attitude. And so he wasn't teachable. He wasn't teachable. And a lot of you, there's young people here, adults both, we all need to be teachable. God needs to be able to teach us. We need to listen from Christian friends and Christian counselors when we have a decision to make. We need to be willing to talk to them. And then, you know what is sad, but young people, let me just throw this out at you. There's a lot of adults here that have been through a lot of things in life, and some of them have made some decisions that weren't the right decision to make, and they know that, they've learned from it, and now they want to reveal that to young people and say, don't go this direction, I've been there, it doesn't work. And you know what happens? A lot of young people, well, maybe that was just you, let me go ahead and try. And what we would love, because we'd love to see God's blessing on the lives of young people and adults alike, what we'd love is learn from other people's mistakes. And Scripture tells you what's going to happen anyway, learn from that. Learn from that. Let that work in your life and save yourself from all kinds of difficulties. Every time Samson faced a problem, he reacted violently. He acted violently. And you know what? God turned around and used that as a judgment on the Philistines. But I keep thinking if Samson were like Solomon when he first gave himself to the Lord and said, Lord, give me wisdom that I may know how to come out and go in and come out with your people and know how to be wise in telling them what to do and what they shouldn't do so that I do things the way you want. And God blessed him for that. If Samson had had that kind of mindset, God could have used his strength and his mind. What kind of a force would he have been then? But instead, he just reacted violently. And then again, number two, they lean on their own strength and understanding. Number two, and we've talked about this, but we'll hit it one more time, they fail to learn from their own mistakes. Fail to learn from their own mistakes. And that is a huge problem. There's so many times we fail spiritually, we can fix it. We can fix it. We fail in the way we respond to our wives. We fail in the way we respond to our husbands. We fail in the way we respond to our children. Fortunately, we can go to the Lord, but we can begin to work on it so that that isn't the case. And that's God's desire, that we become more and more like Christ. Person either goes uphill or downhill depending on whether he fails forward or fails backward. Fails forward or fails backward. Instead of the word fall, which we would think of, a fail. You can fail forward. You know what that means? You fail, but as you move forward, you correct the failure. If you fail backwards, that means you don't learn anything from it and you just keep going further and further backwards. How many of you here today believe at some point this week you will probably fail? Okay, I want to see a showing of hands. Okay, every hand ought to be up. Even some of you that think you're perfect, you just failed. You just failed. Anyway, so we're all going to fail, but what are we going to do with those failures? I don't have it right here in front of me. I had at one time a history of the failures of Abraham Lincoln before he became president. It is amazing when you read that list. I mean, it is a long list of how many different things he tried and went after that he failed, but he didn't quit. And he kept learning and learning and learning. All of a sudden, he's president of the United States and looked back upon as one of the greatest presidents in the world. But he failed forward. When he failed, he learned from his failure, and he would continue forward and try to become better because of it, not react to it and become worse in regard to that. For people to learn from their mistakes, they must, number one, be big enough to admit their mistakes. That's a big one, isn't it? Some people don't want to admit they've made a mistake. Do you know how many I've heard people go on and on with the whole list of lies, that's what they would be, trying to back up why they made a decision that they knew was wrong. I mean, it's like boom, 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 boom. Somebody says it takes, you know, if you tell a lie, it takes 7 lies to back up that one lie. By the time you get done, and I could show you, except it takes too much time. But every lie you take, it takes 7 more lies to back it up. And there's a point where when we make a mistake, you can either lie about it or you can just flat say, I made a mistake. In fact, you know what would be a great thing for us to do? Right now, all of you look at me and say this with me. I made a mistake. I made a mistake. Thank you. Now, you've already said it today, so the hurt's over. But it is hard for some to say, I was wrong. That's another one. You husbands and wives know that is almost an impossible statement to make. Sometimes things get heated. I was wrong, but it's just, it won't come out of your mouth. Well, it's hard. But how much different are things when you go ahead and say that and the thing's fixed and you go on rather than a long-term battle siege and all the problems that go along with it. Children, parents, all those things, it comes into, again, acknowledging when we fail. And number two, not only big enough to learn from your mistakes, but smart enough to learn from them. Smart enough to learn from them. So you admit your mistake, and then you learn from your mistake. In other words, you change direction because of it. And again, as we look at the life of Samson, every one of the things we're saying was not the case in his life. He's where he shouldn't be. Instead of repenting and getting to where he should be, he just kept trying to continue make things better. When he decided finally after he left his first wife because she told the 30 Philistines what his secret was when he gave the riddle. And so she begged him and cried and said, you told him, you know, you know what it is. And he said, well, I haven't even told my parents. Why would I tell you? I thought that was funny. Why would I tell you? And, oh, you don't love me. And da 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 da. And so she wept and moaned and belly ached. And he thought, oh, man, a crying woman. And so he finally told her. And then she turns around and tells the 30 Philistines. Well, then he felt like she had totally rejected him. So he left her. So he's gone for several months. Well, her father, which was a dumb thing to do, turned around and married her to one of his best men there at the wedding. And I'm not quite sure how that all worked. He comes back and he said, well, I'm going to go see my wife. And her father says, sorry about that. I married her off since I thought you hated her, which he probably acted like it when he left. And so then he gets angry and goes out and kills 30 men. Then he sets the fields on fire with the foxes. And, you know, I mean, it's just one thing after another over his life, his actions, his attitudes, as you see all that takes place there. It's one thing to know you're wrong. It's another thing to figure out why you are wrong and make corrections. And again, changing the direction of your life. You must be strong enough to correct your mistakes. And again, that means when I fail, I want to correct things. I want to make them better. Fortunately, over the years, I have learned more and more and more in that direction. You know, after you fail enough times and you have to eat it every time you fail and you have to put up with the mess every time you fail, you know what? You kind of decide, you know, it'd be a whole lot easier just to admit my mistake and bring healing to this situation that it would go on in this direction. You learn that. Hopefully you learn that. And so those are important directions. Number three, it's important to act instead of reacting. Samson reacted, he didn't act. He reacted, he didn't act. You say, what's the difference? Acting is where you sit down and you make a plan to live for God. And you determine how you're going to respond in life. Husbands and wives do well at this. If they understand the Word of God, they read some books maybe on marriage, good Christian books on marriage and home and family, and they say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to respond. I even believe it's good to learn how to fight. Did you know that? There's good Christian responses in a marriage. Marriages are going to have conflict. If you know how you're going to respond in that conflict, then you can save yourself from a whole lot of heartache, can't you? Instead of turning it into Donnybrook, you can say, okay, you know, we've come to this impasse. Here's what I believe God wants us to do, and you've both agreed on that previously. Oh, you can save yourself so many problems, so you learn how to act. In other words, here's what I'll do. You know, if I come into this situation where sin's involved, I will do this. I won't let myself be drawn into that circumstance, or I won't let this happen. In most cases, in most sins, they say that people have already thought about the sin before they actually commit it. Did you know that? They've already thought about it before they commit it. In other words, how many of you think a bank robber goes into a bank, robs a bank, but he never thought about it? Some of them, the way they do it, they didn't think about it. Was it you, Debbie, that was telling me about the guy that drove up in the drive-up? You were working at a bank. He drove up in the drive-up, and he sent in a check that wasn't his. Was that it? And I think it was Debbie that kept, what'd you say? Yeah. She knew it wasn't from him. I mean, it wasn't the right check, and so she just said, I need your driver's license also. And so he puts his driver's license, sends it into the bank, and then all of a sudden, somebody else yells at him in the car, and you hear him go, well, probably not something we'd want to hear. And anyway, you know, it goes flying out of there. Wasn't too smart. That's somebody that didn't have a good plan. But most people, when they go to do something wrong, they plan. And even sin in our lives, most of the time we've thought about it, but we haven't made a plan to do the right thing. Acting, that's what acting is. Following God's word. In other words, if I'm tempted here, this is what I'll do. Here's how I'll respond. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that we're all tempted. Let me quote the verse. I'm sorry, I can't get it started right. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Look at that if you will. If you've got your Bibles right there. As soon as I see it, I'll go, eh. Yeah, no temptation has overtaken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, the way of escape, you know what that is? It's a plan. It's a plan. In other words, you've planned already how you would not fall in that sin. Men and women understand if there's a problem with a man and a woman, what do? You don't plan to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, do you? You try to make things right and honorable in that way. So you work on those kinds of things. And so we see that in making the right steps here. We never see Samson stepping forward to lead people in a positive direction. Do you realize that? Look at all the training he had. Look at all the background he had. Wouldn't he have been one that would call all of Israel together and say, Israel, from you haven't been honoring God, you haven't been following God, that's why we're under this judgment. Now what I want all of you to do, we're going to fall on our faces and we're going to honor God and we're going to worship God. See, he didn't act. He didn't call people to do that. Instead, he's constantly finding himself in the wrong place and reacting to the situation. He never presents a plan for Israel's deliverance from bondage. He never encourages people to follow God. He reacts to negative events in his life. He never sits down to seek God's plan for his life. We don't ever have an indication of that. He reacts over and over and over. As soon as something happens, immediately he just comes out with his physical anger, his physical response. And that always creates all kinds of problems and difficulties. And the last point that we want to make, you know, a person that responds that way, they're always defeated. They're always defeated. In other words, they're never on top spiritually. They're always reacting. You walked around some people, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing wonderful. And they got a smile on their face. And God's good. I love God. God loves me. We're following the Word of God. And yes, I have failures, but you know God is faithful. And when I ask forgiveness, God cleanses me. And I just love living in victory. Love living in victory. And you can be in victory every day, you know, because you confess your sin. You're constantly right with the Lord and that kind of thing. Where do you ever see Samson with that kind of a positive attitude? I'm living for God. I'm honoring God. By my life, I'm showing God. About all we see is his desire to go to the wrong kind of women and his desire to constantly respond physically to show everybody what he can do with his strength. And sadly, we see a lot of people around us that way today. Whatever sin it might be, not only moral sin, but other types of sin. Even great talent, such as Samson was blessed with, will only take us so far. It'll only take us so far. There has to be that mindset, I will honor God. You can bluff your way through, but eventually Satan will put a bigger bluffer than you in your way to destroy you. It's not how much bluff can you bluff, but it's who can bluff more. Who's the bigger bluffer? I didn't intend to say that, but I think it's interesting. When it comes to bluffdom, who's the greatest bluffer? If there is such a thing as bluffdom. But what happened? Well, Samson was a bluffer, but he walks in. Delilah was a what? Greater buffer, bluffer. She could work her way around him, and he fell right into the trap, and there's a lot there we could go into, but we won't. But you see him falling. And you know, Satan will always put a bigger bluffer than you in your way to destroy you. He will always put another one there. If you haven't got a plan to live for God and haven't made up your mind, I will live for God. I am going to honor God with my life. You have to do that. If you leave a loophole there and say, well, I am unless I see something better. Guess what? You will see something better. You will. But it's not really better, is it? It's that bluffer. It's something where Satan bluffs you with something greater. It looks greater, but it ends up bringing ultimate defeat and destruction. Left unrepaired because of an unteachable spirit, left to moral erosion and unchecked sin in his life that brought his destruction. G.K. Chesterton, a great pastor of the past, said, anything done in our own strength will fail miserably or succeed even more miserably. That sounds crazy, but it's true. Because if it's in our own strength, it's not of God, it's not of his mind, it's not of his desire, and even if we succeed, it's going to create even bigger problems. And as we put that all together, as we think, you know, how differently might his life have ended if he repented, sought God's blessing, and followed God's direction? I still believe he could have destroyed the Philistines. I believe he could have annihilated, done exactly what God wanted and really destroyed them. Yes, he destroyed their rulers. Yes, he destroyed their leaders. But the whole time he was being made fun of because of the loss of his strength, and they were making fun of him because of the weakness of his God. That's the tragedy. That's the tragedy. And when we make our own decisions and go our own direction, we make God look weak. We make God look weak. And that's why, to me, you know, when a person lives for God and honors God and God powerfully uses them, it causes the name of God to be lifted up. And that's the important thing, isn't it? Where we bring praise and glory to God, and so we submit ourselves to God's plan. The Philistines would have been defeated. Samson would have been a positive role model. Sadly, when we describe him, we can't use him as a positive role model. We can't. God used his weakness and used the sin in his life because he knew that was the direction he was going, but God could have even in a greater fashion used him if he'd have been a God follower and made decisions according to God's plan and God's way. Instead, we see a sad story with a sad ending, and we don't see a change in Israel's situation. They're still under the hand of the Philistines and still going. He didn't completely deliver them, even though he was 20 years as their deliverer. He did things from time to time, but it was on his own schedule, his own mind, of his own desire, and of what he wanted to accomplish, and he died. He died. And again, we don't have to, we can be teachable. You today here can be smart and not stupid. But after a message like this, if you say, well, I'm still going to go my own way, I have to come to the conclusion, go ahead, but I can't fix stupid. And sadly, you'll have to suffer the response of that with your family, with your children, whatever it might be. In the future, all the negative things that come, and I can sit down and tell you exactly how your life will go and what will happen, and it's not because of my mind reader, it's because sadly God says it, and I've watched it over and over and over and over. Follow God. He wants to honor you. He wants to bless you as you completely yield yourself to him. Be smart. Be teachable. Allow the Lord to use you in the right way. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for each one that's here today, and Lord, we don't want to be unkind, but sometimes we're just amazed at how unintelligent people are. They know the truth, they hear the truth, and yet they reject the truth, hoping that all the things promised in Scripture that come to the end of someone who rejects the truth, they believe somehow they'll get around and not have to face. So, Lord, I pray that you won't leave us to ourselves and to our own minds. Help us to have the wisdom to choose good Christian counselors, to make wise decisions. And, Lord, there's a lot of young people here today. I'd love to see every one of them successful in life, successful with a good Christian family, successful in the direction that they go for you if you've called them to serve you. Whatever it is, we pray for your blessing. Adults, too, we still make decisions every day. We need to yield ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.